All right, so we're picking up on Kuf Mem Dalet on Beis in Shabbos. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right? Towards the bottom. Someone want to take it? Okay. All right, so he says that you can squeeze a cluster of grapes into a kedera, but not into a kara. So what's a kedera?
Kedera, so tashia.
Tough little rush here. So what is it? So you're squeezing it into a kedera, which is a pot, right? And it's a kedera with food in it. So you're adding the juice to improve the tavshil. Yeah, so why is it mutter? Because it's muchach, it's clear that you're not squeezing the grapes for juice. Right? You're only squeezing it le'ochel. What does it mean le'ochel? Because it's going to be part of the tavshil. Right? You're not treating that mashke as a drink. It's not something that you're using as a drink at all. You're only using it to become part of, as an ingredient in the tavshil. Okay, but the importance of the kedera is what? That it's muchach, that's not lamashke. Correct? Now what's the Rashi ve'ein ze derech prikaso? Lavi kim mafrid ochel mi ochel. What does that mean? It's a strange expression. Ein ze derech prikaso. Lavi kim mafrid ochel mi ochel. Means that what? Since you're treating the mashke as an ochel, so that's not the derech prikaso. Prikaso is what? When you have a mashke contained in the grape, right? You have a mashke contained in the grape, and now you're separating the mashke from the grape. But this, you're not doing that. Why? Why are you not doing that?
You never separate it independently?
Because you're putting it in, because you're treating it like ochel, right? Because you're treating the mashke itself like an ochel. So, huh?
I mean, I wouldn't call it not the derech. It's just not doing that.
I mean, that is strange. Why he calls it, why he says, ain derech prikaso. Right? So let's see. Let's take a look at the next Rashi. So you can't do it into a tav, into, you can, you're allowed to do it into the kedera, but not into the kara. Okay, but into the kara, you're not allowed to do. Why? Because sometimes it's for mashke. Sometimes you squeeze into a kara for mashke. Even though you don't drink out of a kara, which is a plate, right? It's not muchach that it's not for mashke. And there is an iser. An iser drabon, of course. Now, here's the question. Is there food in the kara?
I don't think so.
Actually, you know, he's saying the other Rishonim. Yes, yeah, so the Bir Halacha brings down that. What's the chiluk between kedera and kara? So he brings down that all the other Rishonim, besides Rashi, he says, learn that the only question really is whether you're squeezing it into a food or not. And kedera is just chosen because stam kedera has tavshil. And kara is chosen because stam kara doesn't have a tavshil. But he wants to say that Rashi implies that there's tavshil in both. And it's a separate question of whether it goes there, even into a tavshil that's in a kara, because the kara has the appearance, because sometimes you use a kara for food, for mashke, so it has, it's not muchach that it's not for mashke. But it would be midrabanan, of course. But the basic concept is what? That since it's going into ochel, it's not mefarik. Yeah. See, I think that's what Rashi means, ein zed derech prikaso. I think he's trying to explain why the kedera is completely mutter. Because since it's muchach, since nobody ever squeezes into a kedera for a mashke, so it doesn't have the, it doesn't even have the appearance of mefarik. It's not a maisa that anyone would do as a to get a mashke. The Ein Zed Derech Prikaso is not talking about the malacha question. There's two questions according to Rashi. One question is there a malacha going on? Right? And that depends on whether it's going into an ochel or not. If it's going into an ochel, that's not mefarik. Right? Because mefarik has to be that there's a mashke that's contained inside the fruit, and then you're porik, you're unloading the mashke from the fruit. But if it's ochel, and if it's all ochel, so then it's just like splitting the grape. You can split the grape. Just splitting it into different components. A liquidy one and a more solid one. But it's basically not, it's not mefarik. Right? But Rashi's bothered with a separate second problem of midrabanan. Even though midraisa, so it's not mefarik itself. Is it like a nira kemefarik? So he holds it's only mutter completely when it's not nira kemefarik at all. So that's going to depend, like, whether there's a derech of this, even though it's not mefarik itself, is the maisa that he's doing partake of a derech mefarik? Right? Like we say on Shabbos, you say on Shabbos, by bishul, there's always two questions. But one question is there an actual bishul going on? And then the second question, is it derech bishul? Right? You guys familiar with Shabbos? You know, is on Shabbos, if you have something that's completely cooked, right? Let's say you have a dover yavesh that's completely cooked. So we say there's no bishul, ain bishul acha bishul biyavesh, right? Everybody agrees. There's no bishul acha bishul biyavesh. So why can't I take a fully cooked thing and put it on top of a fire and heat it up, right? Because it's derech bishul. It looks like a maisa of bishul because it has the format of a bishul. There's a fire, there's a food, and you're putting it on top. So it's not an iser bishul, but it's an iser, they call it mechsi kemevashul, right? It's mechsi kemevashul. It gives the appearance of bishul. So that's why you'd have to put it on top of an upside down tin, something, put it on top of an upside down pot, so it doesn't look like a derech bishul, right? That's a separate inyan of mechsi kemevashul. It seems that Rashi's learning over here also that there's an inyan of derech prika. So he's saying in this case, into a tavshil, and it's a kedera. That's not even a derech prikaso. It has its own shame. It has its own identity, just like cooking. It just looks like fixing the whole maisa is just a maisa fixing the pot. But a ka'ara, you don't have that. So you'd be a gzera, a separate gzera of derech prikaso, yeah.
Even if there's, Rashi saying, even if there's an attachment on the kedera, it'll still be okay.
No. You need two things. You need to not have an actual mashke, so that it's like on Shabbos. So you need to have not an actual bishul, not to have an actual iser of prika, and then not even to be, to appear like a derech prika.
So in the ka'ara, even if there is food, then
That's right. But in the ka'ara, there's a separate iser of derech. It has to be muchach from the maisa that it's not partaking of prika at all. That's what the Bir Halacha says. That's the proper way to learn Rashi.
But just actually, why is that muchach that it's not for mashke?
Because he says it goes by the kli. Somebody will, I don't know. The observer, it goes by a near side of the observer. Okay, go ahead. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, right, not such good vision. He can see the plate, but he doesn't see what's inside. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, I mean, you can ask the same thing. Why doesn't the guy see that it's fully cooked when you're putting it on top of the fryer? Go ahead.
Amar Rav Chista. Divrei Rabbeinu Nilmar Cholev Adam Eiz L'Toch HaKedera Aval Lo L'Toch Ka'ara.
Oh, so Rav Chista says we can learn something from Shmuel, from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that what? It should equally be mutter to milk a goat into a pot, but not into a kara. Okay? Same thing. There's no difference. There's no difference. Because the Gemara says, or that's the Gemara showed yesterday, that that cholev is also a mafarik question. Cholev is mafarik too. Okay? So just like squeezing zeisim vanovim is mafarik, and into a tavshil besocha kedera is mutter, so too squeezing milk into a kedera that has a tavshil is mutter. Okay, now here's the $64,000 question. We're not gonna take it up now, but this is the question: are these cases parallel or not? And what do I mean by that? Yeah. I mean to say, is it? Are these both on Shabbos? That's the big question. Is the Eshkol? There's mutter lischot. The Eshkol is definitely on Shabbos. Right? That's the Tosafot there. But the big machlokus in the Gaonim and the Rishonim is the A's also on Shabbos, or is the A's dafka on Yom Tov? Because on Shabbos, do you run into a separate question of Muktza? Right? That's the big question here. Okay, well, we're going to leave it. We'll leave it now. Because you can't, since you can't eat the A's on Shabbos, so it's not roi for achila. Right. So then everything that comes from it should also not be roi. Should be a nolad. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Anyway, we're not going to take that question up now. Next. Oh, that's the main point. So this whole thing is totally on one concept. And what is that? That mashke habol ochel is ochel hil. Now here's the question. See if you understand what this means. When is it ochel?
When it's in
the whole time. The minute it comes from the source. Right? From the moment it emerges. Not going to help you to make a mashke and put it into ochel, right? So you're saying this whole thing only makes sense if you hold that a mashke that you intend for it to become part of an ochel has the same ochel initially.
So if it doesn't come from food?
If it doesn't come from food?
Yeah,
it doesn't come from food.
Right,
like what?
Olive juice.
That's a good question. You mean is it dafka and eshkol? Well, that would be a big problem.
What's the question?
Because the question would be, would the raw olive be muksa? Is a raw olive muksa? I mean, be like the you get an olive. Can you squeeze an olive into something? It's not a mashke. No, this whole thing is not saying it's an ochel when it gets into the ochel. It has to be an ochel when it's squeezed out. And you know that that's true from the next Gemara. It's the only way to understand this whole thing, right? So that's an interesting question. But the theoretical question, mashke habal ochel. But let's hold off on that a little bit, because that's what the Gemara really gets into that question later, analyzes every possibility a little later. Let's just take a couple of the mace phase. Go ahead.
Mace Rani Barchama Zav Shikholibisa Aids Yachala Tame V Amr Smashka Open Okul Mayas Kasha.
Right, so that proves what I'm saying, right? So he says that if a Zav milks a goat, apparently goats were the main milking animal there. If the Zav milks the goat, then the Cholav is Tamei. You came to the same conclusion?
Huh?
You came to the same conclusion?
No.
No. Okay, Rashi. Cholav Tamei, go ahead.
Cholav Tamei, she Zav mitamei kol dar b'masa v'ere heise kiluach v'lo kamaflik b'imus of zera b'imus of kos.
Yeah. So the Zav is mitamei things without even touching them. Right? That's why it's a Zav over here. The Zav is even mitame without touching. just manipulating, right? So he's squeezing the milk out, so that's considered like hesed. Hesed means like moving it, right? So he's moving the kiluach, the stream. Okay, now this and this Bryce is saying that the milk will be tamei regardless of whether it's going into a kedera or a cup. Right, in other words, whether it's going letocha ochel or into a, or just as a fresh cup of goat juice. Goat juice, we call it milk in some parts of the world. Okay, go ahead. So what's the problem?
The amris ochel.
Ah, but if you're going to tell me that if I milk a goat into food, then what? Then the very stream of milk is food. Right? The very stream of milk itself is food. Then why should it become tamei? Because we know that food won't become tamei until it is huchshar b'mashkin. As strange as this Gemara sounds, right? Strange Gemara. That the liquid has to have a hechsher. The liquid, if the liquid is an ochel, it needs to have a hechsher. But if the liquid is a mashke, then it doesn't need to have a hechsher. That's the difference between a mashke and an ochel. A mashkin doesn't need a hechsher, right? An ochel does need a hechsher. So if the Bryce is saying that if a zav milks an a's, then the milk is tamei behechlet, it's definitely tamei, regardless of whether it's going into a food or into a cup. So then, where's the hechsher of the, and if you're going to tell me ochel mashkin habala ochel is ochel, where's the hechsher of the ochel of the milk as an ochel? Okay, very interesting answer. Very interesting. Very interesting answer. So what is it? Explain it to me.
So that means.
Very revealing statement there. So the tipa rishona, anybody milk, anybody ever been, no? No experience? Nothing? Okay.
Yeah, I milked a cow.
So apparently, it's easier if you wet the udder with a little milk first. Right? It's easier if you wet the udder with milk. So that's what he's saying. He's saying the tipa rishona, they use the first drop to wet the udder, right? The tip of the udder, and that's bedas, because there's another din by mashkin. You only consider it to be machshir ochlin with mashkin if you place the mashkin there bedas. If the mashkin is there on purpose, not if accidentally something gets wet, right? It has to be v'chi yutan v'chi yitain, right? That's the drasha v'chi yitain. When you put it there, if you put the mashkin there, okay, it's written v'chiyutan, because you don't have to actually do it be a dayim. If it rains and you wanted the rain, that's also considered a heksher. Yeah. So he says like this: you take the milker takes the first drop of the milk and wets the udder, and that he does bidas, and he's happy with it. I'm sorry, and it makes it easier to milk. But why is that a mashke? Why is that first drop itself a mashke? Right, you're not going to drink it, right?
Well, you use it functionally as a mashke.
And that's not what he says. He says that is just stam. That is a shame of stam. Why? Because you're not using it for ochel. So you see, he's saying that what? That the stam shem cholov is a mashke. Stam cholov is a mashke. Right? You don't need to want to drink it in order to make it a mashke. Stam cholov is a mashke. There's a separate din that if I'm If I have das for ochel, it'll be an ochel. But it doesn't mean I can turn it into whatever I want to with my das. Doesn't mean it is only a product of my das. There is such a thing as a stam, and a stam is l'shem mashkeh. So now it turns out I squeezed out a little drip to lubricate the udder, basically, right? So that's going to retain the shame, the stam shame of mashkeh. So now, as the rest of the milk comes into my tavshil, it's like an ochel passing through a mashkeh that I put there bidas. So that's the hechsher of the chalav. Far-fetched or interesting, huh?
So what happens? It's funny that you can qualify that whole brisa. Yeah. By, it's just like this is what everyone does. Yeah.
There's an ochel. Yeah. So that drop now be it's al piha, what is it? Al piha dud. So it's at the very, it's at the edge. It's at the edge of the udder. So all the milk that you, that's it's coming through, he's saying, is gonna stream through. It's gonna be in contact with that mashke, and that's the heksher of the ochel. So it's true, mashke haba ochel is ochel, but here the tipa rishona is not ochel. So the tipa rishona retains the shame stam of mashke. And it's machshir all the rest of the cholav, even though it's ochel, right? Did we once discuss what the idea of hechsher is? Of the hechsher, why you need a hechsher for ochlin to become tamei? Yeah, I can't remember where. I remember there's a Rashi that indicates an idea that has to do with like a kvius, like because the problem is you have food that's growing in the field. When does it become food? When does something become an ochel to you, right? So the idea is washing something bidas is like there's like the haschola of preparing it for food. You don't wash the food until you're that's like part of the kvius of making it part of your achila. So grains that are just sitting out in the field and get rained on, that's not the hechsher. When you take it in, you wash it to clean it, to store it, that's already you're being kovei. It has, so in other words, it has to do, it's not really so much an extraneous din of a hechsher, it's really part of the completion of its shem ochel. You know what I mean? It lacks in its full definition of ochel until you have, until you've done something to it that takes it from just natural growth to practical achila, right? So it's a process. It's like the most basic form of processing a raw material into a household good. You understand?
Why does somebody different take some mashkin than the old, like blood?
That's where the halacha takes over. Okay. So that's the first, survive the first crisis. Go ahead. So here too what? Oh, it's Hachanan, because the case of Rabbi Yochanan was by an Isha, right? That's what he says. Okay.
So, Mesiv Ravina, Tamei Meis, Shasachat Zaysim, Ganavim, Kabeitza Mechavenes, Tahor, Yoser Mechavetza Tamei.
Right.
No Nogea El Ba'okta.
Okay, so Rashi says the Mishnah in Taros, and it says there explicitly that the case is that the Tamei Meis doesn't touch any of the mashke that's dripping off. Okay, he's only touching the food. Okay, good. So the din is that ochlim that are tamei cannot be metamei something else unless they have a shir kabeitza. Okay, so now you're starting out with a food that's exactly the shir of a beitza. It's a kabeitza mechuvenes. It's an exact beitza. So now, of course, it's going to be tamei because the tamei meis is touching it. But now he squeezes it and it becomes divided into less than a beitza of food and some mashke, right? Now it becomes less than the beitza of food and some mashke. Go ahead. So you can't. So the Mishnah says what? It's tahor. So that's why, because if he was touching it, The Rashi says that it has to be they didn't touch the mashke because he's a tamei mace. There's no shear in the mashke to become tamei. Any one drop of mashke can become tamei. So if a tamei mace touched the drop, of course that drop will become tamei. But here, what's unusual about the case is that the tumas can only come through ochlin, and ochlin can only be metamei in a shear kebetza. Now, so someone's asking. So the Gemara's answer is basically a factual answer it was a case where it went not into a tafshu. All right, so I think they're showing some Rishonim. So why couldn't they answer that question? Why couldn't they give the answer? But it's better to give the if you can, it's better to give a different kind of an answer. But
which answer?
By the goat, could have said the same thing.
Well, Rashi specified it.
That's true, but the goat doesn't say that in the Braisa. Right. I mean, you could have said the Kedera over there had food in the... I'm sorry, what was the case? It just says, Zav HaCholiv HaSa'ez. You could have said the same kind of an answer. But they had a better answer. Anyhow, but the question now is, we got through saying yesterday that the Zesim and Anavim are intrinsically have a shame mashke inside the fruit. So, right, so how can you say it's not Mepharik? Right? Okay. But why do they have a shame? When we say they have a shame mashke in the fruit, what is that based on, really? What is that based on? It's not a botanical definition, right? What do we mean as a shame mashke in the fruit?
In which case? Yeah.
By the Zesim Vanavim. That's what's bothering Morris. If it really is like a mashke inside the fruit, how could you avoid the mefarik, right? But why is it a mashke in the fruit?
Because it's automatically considered significant outside of the fruit.
Because of the way that it's used, that's the way that's predominantly used, right? The way that it's predominantly used is what gives the product is what. It's al shame sofo is what I'm trying to say. It's only a mashke al shame sofo, because we look at the grape and we say this is essentially for mashkin. So therefore, we look at the grape in a certain way. We say it has a latent mashke within it. It's not that a guy squeezes a grape and decides to drink it later. You understand? It has a shame mashke before the shechita. But it's only al shem sofo. It's only because it's predominantly used that way. So we view it as essentially containing a mashke, as a vehicle of mashke, not a vehicle of ochlin. And the statistics bear that out, right? What did we find out yesterday? 91% of the world olive produce goes to olive oil, and 71% goes to of grapes go to wine. Right. So over here, the question is, you have a different plan for this juice. You know what I'm saying? You have a different plan. Your plan is ochel. Your plan is ochel. So can we say that what? Can we say I can redefine the sof over here? For me, the sof is not mashke. I'm going to take this mashke and I'm going to use it for food. So can I say now that what? That for me it has a shame ochel. It's an interesting question. But why don't you say butler date by buzzle date the other? It's an intriguing question, but it's not simple. It's not a simple question. Did you see the next Gemara? It gets very complicated. Starts getting complicated quickly.
Which after the Girsa thing?
That whole Girsa problem, yeah.
In circumstance, doesn't seem right. Like
I mean, the Butler diet is called is not really. It's an exaggeration. That's an exaggeration, because certainly, it is also used as a food. I mean, it's not like a crazy to use the grape juice in the top show, right? But there's also another thing. I'm not sure if this makes a difference right now. I'm just thinking about it. That it's starting from an ochel. But But I'm not sure if that matters, because the A's also, I don't know if you say the A's is an ochel necessarily. I'm not sure. Okay, but anyway, in order to really get to understand this, we have to go through this next the next two complicated cases, okay, and see according to the machlokas and the gersos.
Let's say it's poor grape juice into.
No, that's very very interesting. Let's go through the facts, because it's complicated, and I want to make sure everyone has the facts, and we can try to think about this far as tomorrow. Okay. So the Gemara is like this. You want me to read? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Kitanai. What's the matter? Yeah, it's for us today?
No.
Kitanai. Kitanai. Mashke habol ochel ochelu o mashke. So the question is whether a mashke habol ochel is an ochel or a mashke is really a machlokas tanaim. Okay? All right. How do we see that? From this case. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Kitanai. Hamachlik be'anovim lo huchshar. So what does that mean, hamachlik be'anovim? So Rashi is like this. Nachtom, a baker, hamachlik p'nei kikarosov be'anovim. So what does he do? He smears the top of his loaves with grape juice, with grapes. But not with grapes. Shesochet hamashke al hakikar. So everybody does that. People do that. It's common practice. You ever make bread? You ever see challahs? So they're shiny on the top. That's because they smear something on the top. So it's for appearances. They smear something. A baker smears something on top of the loaf to give that better browned appearance on the top. Okay, shiny, brown, whatever it is. So what does the he say? What does the Tanakhama say? He says lo hukshar. That's not considered a hechshar for the loaf. What do you mean? Why does the loaf need a hechshar? Didn't you make it with water? So he says on the side, tzorach lomar. Rashid Huksha ha'ochel v'ha'anovim. Oh, is that the wrong one? That's Huksha, I'm sorry. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama says Huksha. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Huksha. Okay, Rashi Huksha ha'ochel. Is that the wrong Rashi? V'ha'anovim. So they're both going to become Huksha. V'ayri b'pas shenilush b'mei peros. Right, v'achshav Huksha. So Rashi is telling you factually, it has to be the pas was made with juice. With juice. That would not be heksher. Because otherwise, I guess he's saying you'd have heksher from the water itself.
Why wouldn't juice be a meager?
May Paris is not one of the Shiva Mashkin. Huh?
No, yeah, like we were just wondering, like the factual question, like we thought that. Like, you know, things like bread could be made of
tamen,
but that's because of the water inside.
That's right. So you got to say the case is the bread was made with mei peros that are not a heksher. So the only heksher would be the grape juice, the yayin that you squeeze on top.
Well, why would the water be a heksher? The purpose is bread.
Because it came from an original source of mashke.
Right. And you put it there, bedas. And there's nichalei. Okay, you got to get out of your mind this idea that you can just control things with your mind. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about a very special question of mashke habol ochel. But it's not a mashke until it comes out. So you're preventing the shame mashke from emerging. Okay? Okay, so he says it like this. So maybe that's the machlokas. My lav bahai kemiflagi. So how is it? Mar sovar mashka bol ochel ochel hu. Umar sovar lo ochel hu. Lav ochel hu. So what's the mashka bol ochel? So he's saying it like this. Habo litzorach ochel. Kigon shesochtan l'shem hapas. So then why don't you say this is a case of mashkin habo li ochel. Rashi is a little on guard over here. Right? Because it's not really getting mixed into the ochel. It's going to remain like a coating on top of the ochel, right? But nonetheless, it's letzorach ochel, he calls it, right? So you see, it's not a matter of it being bottle, you know, physically. It has to do with how it's being used. Is it being used as a drink, or is it being used as a food? Right, like an interesting tosis on the prior daf. He says that a mother's milk is considered an ochel, because that's what the baby survives on. You don't say the baby's drinking, the baby's eating. Right? So eating and drinking have something to do more with has to do with the question of sustenance, right? So over here, the mashke on top of the kikar, he's saying, is letzarach ochel. So let's say that's the machlokas, right? That the Tanakhama says it's lo huchshar, so it's mashkin abal ochel is geochel dami. And Rabbi Huda says it's huchshar, so even though it's mashkin abal ochel, it has the same mashke. Okay? Now, here's where things get difficult. Omer of Papa, we'll take our gears. Dikuli alma mashke habal ochel lav ochelu. No, everybody agrees that it's a mashke. Everybody agrees that that even though you want the mashke to, even though you want the juice for the purpose of achila, that doesn't matter. That's a later choice. That's a later reality. It comes out as a mashke. You want to eat it later, fine. But it doesn't affect how it comes out. Oh, so then why doesn't everybody agree a texture? V'hocha b'mashke habo le'ibud komiflagi. This is different. This is not la'ochel. This is worse. This is le'ibud. Why is it le'ibud? Let's see Rashi. Kuli alma mashke habo le'ochel lav'ochel. Like our girsa. Ela mashkehu. V'hainu taimo demandamar lo huchshar. So then why should it be not huchshar? Shemitchila nischar adaita da'ozo le'ibud. Sheha'or shoavo v'sarfo. Because the fire will ultimately destroy the mashke that was put on top of the kikar. It'll draw it out and burn it. Marsova mashku, marsova lav mashku. Okay, so now let's stop there for a moment. So what does that mean? It means everybody agrees that what? That if it's bola ochel, you have no ability to alter its definition of mashkin. But le'ibud is different. Le'ibud is different. Le'ibud is different. Now Tosos is interesting. It says, Lo motzinan lemeimar dekuli alma ochel. He knows that girsa is floating around there. He says it's not possible to say that what? Mashkin abol ochel is definitely ochel. Why? He says, Im kain, my time of demand amar hukhshar. Because if that's your first choice, then there's no way to have any side say it's a hechshar. If you can say everybody agrees mashkin habala ochel is ochel, so then there's no way to have a mashkin. If you say everybody agrees mashkin habala ochel is a mashkin, so then you can say, but there's another further question. What if it's le'ibud? Do I consider that worse than ochel? Right? But once I say mashkin habala ochel is ochel, then le'ibud is worse than le'ochel. So how could I say that if it's l'ochel, it's not a mashke, but if it's l'ibud, it is a mashke? That Tosfos doesn't make any sense. Okay? And that's precisely what the Rashba says. Right, so Tosfos is learning that what does that mean? If everyone agrees mashke habala ochel is mashkin, so that means that what? So why would it be le'ibud would be different? That's the question now, right? Why would le'ibud be different than le'ochel? Le'ochel, everybody agrees, is a mashke. But le'ibud is a machlokas, right? That's the way Tosfos is learning. That's the way our Girsa learns, and that's the way Tosfos learns. Okay? I just feel we should finish up all the facts first before we, because I don't want to leave something that's going to be confusing. Okay, let's go a little bit further, because the Gemara now says a little bit further down this road. Uplugsa dahani tanoi. And now let's say, it's trying to unify the Tanayim as much as it can. So now let's say that the machlokas by the kikar is the same machlokas as this other brisa. Right? Ditanya hamefatzeya bezesim biodayim mesuavos huchsher. So if a person is cracking the olives with his with dirty hands, right? It's huchsher. So what does that mean? Rashi. Baltzair. Kedei sheyiyu rachin. So he's rubbing them to soften the olive. Right? Huchsher. And apparently some oil drips out when he does that. Huchsher. Why? Denichalei b'mishcha. He's happy with the oil. Detayef alayu. It drips on top of the olive. Okay. Shemitoch kach he marbim tam. That increases the tam in the olive. If you crush it a little bit in your hands and you get a little bit of oil to drip on top of the olive. Okay. So now, I guess the olive is an ochel. So now the olive will be huchsha with what? With its own mashke. Right? The oil comes out as a mashke. Right? And even though it's tzarach achila here, even though you could say it's tzarach achila, or maybe not, but it's coming out as a mashke, and it's going to be machshir the olive. Okay, now it's like this. But lesof sam b'melach. This is important to understand. Lo huchshar. What does that mean? Shemitoch shein koshin ein amelach nidbak bohen u'mefatzon l'rakichon mibachutz ma'at. But if I'm just crushing the olive to allow the oil to penetrate better, right? That's my only intention. I want the oil to be able to penetrate better. So I soften up the olive. Lo huchsha. Why? De lo mechaven lemashke didhu. De liaker. What does that mean? He had no intent to produce any oil. The first guy does want to, he is happy to produce some oil. Because he's doing this richuch to improve the olive itself. And the oil that drips off, the oil that coats the olive apparently helps it to cure better. So he's happy with the mashke. He's happy with the mashke. So that's a mashke. And now it's a machshir the olive. But if he's just softening the olive to allow the salt to act more effectively upon it, he has no intention to make any oil. Right? That's not his intention at all. So you can't say he's nichale in the oil. The oil is completely lo miskaven. He's not a miskaven at all for the oil. Okay, so those two cases are not really our question. It's the last case that becomes our question. Im higi leida im higio zesav lemosok im lav lo huchsha. That's the interesting case. If he's testing them to see if they're ready for harvest, leida im higio zesav lemosok tzaruchu liros im shumano noach lotzes. So he picks off, and he wants to know the time to harvest. So he picks off an olive and he gives it a squeeze. He wants to see. What's the test? If oil drips out easily, then it's ready to harvest. So he has kavana to produce the oil because he wants to see what happens, right? Miyu hamashke ozol liibud. But he has no intent for the oil to serve any purpose other than a sign of whether the olive is ready. Okay? So it's not like the first case where he wants the oil to coat the olive. It's not like the second case where he has no kavana to produce any oil. It's a new case. He produces the oil, but he intends just to see it drip down to the ground. So that is what? So that, Rabbi Yehuda says, so Tanna Kamma says, lo huchsha. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it's huchsha. Right? My love, the hokamifagi, mar sover mashke, omed liibud mashkehu, umar sover lav mashkehu. Same question as the kikar. Right? Okay. Who? Amar Rav Huna, braid the Rav Yoshua. Hani tanai b'mashke ha'omed li'ibud pligi. V'hanach tanai b'mashke ha'omed le'tzachtzecho kamifligi. As if we needed another complication of here. He says, no. Rav Huna says that you can't say that the same machlokas. Why? Hani tanoi dimifatzeya vadai b'mashke ha'omed li'ibud pligi. You're definitely right about the olive case. There's no other way to learn the olive case other than a question of mashke ha'bol li'ibud. Okay? Kidarminan avol tanai dimachlik lav be'omed li'ibud pligi. But you don't have to learn the machlokas by the kikar as a machlokas of li'ibud. Okay? The lovely ibud azal, it's not going to waste. Sherei letzach tzecha ochel nasno, he's brightening up the food, getting a nice bright shine on that food. Right? Varei mitzach tzecho, he's doing it letzach tzecha, and it is. It worked. Right? Ela b'mashke ha'omid letzach tzecho le'ochel kamifli. That's a separate question. Mashke, that is to brighten the food. Di'inami mashke ha'bol ochel mashke hu. So it's true that everybody agrees mashke ha'bol ochel is a mashke. Hani mili hecha dekosorif le. And here's a little bit tricky. I don't know if you guys got this far in the Gemara, but if you did, I should have told you something. You have to look at the marsha. Sorif doesn't mean burn over here. It means, Rashi, the Marsha says, Sarif means absorbed, gemia. And shatar means tibul. Okay? So it doesn't mean to burn or... it doesn't mean to burn. What was the other one? It doesn't mean to burn or shatar means tibul. So it means like this. The Torah's mashke ovid al tzachtzecho pligi. So in other words, when do we say, carefully, when do we say mashka bala ochel is a mashka? That's when it is consumed by the ochel, when it's absorbed in the ochel, right? Or it is for dipping, right? Then it's Torah's mashka, but letzachtzecho pligi. Actually, can we just line up the cases now? So according to the way Rashi's learning, how's it going to come out? Mashke abal ocha, hamashke abal ibud is a machlokas in the Tanayim, right? That's a machlokas Tanayim. That's a machlokas Tanayim. Everybody really agrees, mashke abal ochel is mashke, right? Mashke abal ochel is mashke. And mashke abal ibud is a machlokas, right? But this case of the Nachtom is not le'ibud, right? It's not le'ibud. Because he doesn't want to say it's the same machlokas. It's a separate case. It's le'tzachtzecho. It's like somewhere in between. It's not mashke ha'bol le'ochel, because it's not really being part of the ochel. And it's not le'ibud, because it's not being destroyed. It's functioning for the food, but not as a part of the achilas, but not as a part of achila. So you have three cases going to Rashi. If it's functioning for the food, right, like to be absorbed lasake in a tavshil, then it's definitely a mashke. According to this way of going, right, mashke abol ochel is ochel. I'm sorry, is mashke. Right? Once again, everybody agrees, mashka bol ochel lav ke ochel dami, meaning it's a mashka, correct? And now you have two separate machlokasim. One question is like this. When I say it's habol ochel is a mashka, does that mean only when it's coming to be, does that mean only when it's a part of the achila? Like it's lesakein hatavshil, like I'm going to dip it, or I'm going to absorb, it's going to get absorbed into the bread itself, right? But what about if it's just coming to brighten the bread? right? That's not considered li'ibud. But it's also not exactly like an ochel. It's like it's not li'ibud because it has a kiyum. It's functioning. It has some function. But its function is not an achila, right? That's the machlokus by the kikar. And by the, and whatever you say by this, now if you say over here it still is a mashke, then apparently you have a further question of li'ibud. Right? Then you have a further question of li'ibud. So the machlokus by the zesim of li'ibud is only for those who survived the first question by the kikar, it would seem. Because this is, because on the scale of ibud, letzach tzeich is like a semi ibud.
In terms of what you're using this thing for.
Yeah. It would seem clear that if you hold mashke letzach tzeich is not a mashke, then certainly leibud is not a mashke. Right. But if you hold letzach tzeich is still a mashke, what if it's total ibud? Right. So it's like an intim salomar. Everybody agrees mashke habola ochel is a mashke. Now what about if it's coming letzachzeich? If you'll say that even that is still a mashke, then what about le'ibud? Right? That's according to this gerusa. And then you have a whole other way to go the other gerusa. Huh?
Maybe that letzachzeich is worse than le'ibud because it's for like a purpose.
Worse to make it a mashke or to make it not a mashke?
Because it's positively defined as
we'll have to think about that.